This is the first of several EdTech-related discussions that were part of WorldBridge's New Year's Webcast-a-thon. This is from the first hour of the Webcast-a-thon, and participants included Scott Lockman of Tokyo Calling and Comprehensible Input, Will Richardson of Weblog Ed, and me, Jeff Lebo, from EdTech Talk and WorldBridges. You can check out all of the audio from the New Year's Webcast-a-thon at worldbridges.com, and stay tuned for more EdTech-related discussions that were part of it here at edtechtalk.com. We'll be back on the air with our regular EdTech Talk show starting January 8th, 2006, at our new regular time, 6 p.m. GMT. Thanks for staying tuned in, and a very happy 2006 to all.
And that you're going to make the time capsule piece.
Yeah, I'm going to take submissions, I think, for about a week. So I'll start working on that. And most of this audio I'll probably just break up into, you know, chunks of either hour by hour or interviews. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, I've got people scheduled for certain things. I've posted it around the net. I don't know if it's going to be just the people on the schedule and then lots of me umming and awing and, okay, I'll play some more PodSafe tunes now. Or if people are actually going to show up.
Well, I think it's going to be magic. That's what I think.
That's the kind of thinking we like.
Yeah, I just wish I could contribute more.
Well, whatever happens.
I've got a blank pad in front of me, and I'm trying to put together a reflection.
Well, whatever happens, it's got to be better than my first webcast of the year. I believe that was May 12th one, when I went on and just kept playing One is the Loneliest Number again and again.
Yeah, you sent that out, didn't you, as a podcast?
I did. You know, I don't know if it was that one or the one after that, but no one tuned in, no one Skyped in, but I was still excited.
Well, that's how it has to start, though, isn't it? You've got to do it, and you've got
to do it
a few times, and then hopefully an audience will come eventually.
All right, well, Scott Lockman, it is showtime.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the WorldBridges New Year Webcast-a-thon, our 15-hour webcasting marathon in which we hope to speak with people from around the globe about their reflections on 2005 and their hopes and predictions for 2006. I'm delighted to be joined for this segment by Japan's first podcaster, Scott Lockman.
And you know what? Speaking of first, I just got lulled into a sense of relaxed something. I didn't realize that we did tick into the new year. So this is the world's first New Year wish on EdTech Talk.
Indeed.
Another first from
Tokyo. As someone who has traveled to the future, or at least my future, of 2006, what's it like? What does 2006 feel like?
You know, that's a tough one to get your head around, because we are in the future right now, or at least you are and everybody in the chat room. So let me greet you from this side of the dateline. I'm waving back and say, from my perspective, 2 minutes in, 2006 is looking pretty good.
Are there any Jetsons cars flying around or anything?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not in my little computer room here. I just see lots of children's artwork up on the wall.
So let us begin the reflecting and take us back to about a year ago, Scott. Where were you at in terms of your web activities and stuff, and what's changed between last New Year's and this New Year's?
Oh, we've come so far, haven't we? It seems like a year ago was such a much more innocent time for all of us, wasn't it?
It is. I mean, I feel like probably every year there's a sense of, oh my gosh, so much has changed. But I think especially in this realm of new media and podcasting and the like, it has been quite a significant year.
Well, the word of the year, word up, absolutely. It's been an amazing ride for me. That's all I can talk about, my own experience. And
now, you had actually started podcasting in 2004, is that correct?
Well, yeah, right.
Now, I was not tuned in until, you know, 4 or 5 months into 2005. What was the podcasting landscape like last New Year's?
Well, actually, it could go in so many different directions, thinking about podcasting and the history and the origin of the word. And we have Stephen Downs in the chat room, and hopefully he can come in at some point, because I've seen that his name has shown up on the Wikipedia entry for podcasting now. And this is going back to ancient history, maybe 3 or 4 years now. But I would love to hear his take on all of that. For me, going back to October of 2004, what made it click for me was the Doc Searles weblog. He had a post about these guys, Weiner and Curry, and what they were doing. And I saw it, and it kind of made sense that people are distributing audio and like you're producing your own radio. But I didn't check it out the first time I saw the post. And I saw a subsequent post 1 or 2 days later. And then I went and listened to one of their, it wasn't Daily Source Code. They did a, Trade Secrets was the name of the show that Dave Weiner and Adam Curry did. And I listened to one of those, and I read up on how the podcasting thing works with setting up the RSS feed, and I found a way to put an RSS feed onto a movable type blog, and I did it from there. I had a little handheld recorder, and for me, I was waiting for the opportunity to do it, because as some people know, I used to work in radio a long time ago, and it was perfect, and it was just kind of magical that the tool evolved and it was there to use, and I've just kind of been running with it ever since, and it has been dreamlike in some ways, and it's just been fantastic to
do you remember when we first made contact in 2005, Scott? I remember Skyping. It was in the middle of a brainstorm, and for some reason I thought you had contacted me in a chat room or a Skype chat or something, and I believe I had you confused with another Scott, and so during a post show or something, I Skyped out to you, and I said, "Hi, Scott. Yeah, hello, welcome." Right. You were sort of like, "Who is this?"
That's it. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was early spring. Yeah,
yeah, good times, man. Good times.
I heard about you guys through the Webheads,
who really made so much of this possible. They really created the momentum for us to start rolling, and. You mentioned Stephen earlier, and I just want to say hello to everyone in the chat room, including Joe, who's joined us from Down Under. And yes. I want to invite anyone to Skype on in to World Bridges and share your thoughts, reflections, hopes, and predictions.
Yeah, speaking of Joe, she's been in 2006 even longer than we have been in Tokyo. So Happy New Year, Joe. Happy New Year to you. I would say one of the big stories of 2005, going into 2006, is World Bridges and EdTech Talk. And I know people always ask you, how did this come about? And you're probably, in some ways, getting tired of telling your story. But I would be interested in hearing how you would reflect on this year, and if you could, at some point, what you see ahead in the future.
I'm always delighted to talk about World Bridges. I mean, it was a hugely significant year for World Bridges. In my mind, it's kind of the year that we finally started to crawl, got out of the crib a bit. You know, I thought this kind of stuff was going to be happening a lot sooner than it did. It was 1998 when I actually started World Bridges, and it was because I had experienced BBC audio using RealPlayer 1.0 and thought, oh my God, people can produce their own audio and put it on the internet, everyone's going to have their own radio show next month.
Right.
And started playing with it and thought, you know, this is so obvious. Isn't everyone going to be doing it? And, you know, the live component was not very doable, or at least the live interactive part. And so I played with it a little bit over the years, webcasted a few conferences and everything when I was in Korea, and came back to the States a year and a half ago and didn't get out of the web stuff, but took a bit of a step back. And then in April, I think I listened to Slashdot Review, was my first podcast, and I was searching for some information and came across that, and it's an audio file, and in that they mentioned podcasting, and so I started to look around, and then I came across Skype, and that was a real aha moment for me, because I can do this, you know, one-way streaming audio. Skype will allow us to, you know, have live conversations that get streamed out. It's showtime. And so once we went on the air and started playing with that, it took a little while to gain traction and for people to get a sense for what was happening. But it has certainly been a year of building momentum, and I feel like there's a lot of momentum going forward. One of my biggest surprises of 2005 is that there's still not more of this going on. And there is some, but nothing on the scale of podcasting or even vlogging.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It is another level of difficulty, and it is a pretty funky audio setup that's required. So I guess that's a big factor, and I suspect that there will be a lot of evolution in this, the software and the tools necessary to do this in 2006. So I would expect that there'll be more of this out there. I want to welcome Daryl to the chat room and to the webcast. Thanks for tuning in. And a balmy greetings to Joe. It's 42 degrees Celsius down under. My goodness. That certainly gives a different image of New Year's than we have here in New Hampshire.
That is hot.
That is hot.
That is real hot.
All right, Scott, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
To be the first time capsule victim or participant, I mean?
I feel like I belong in a time capsule, yeah. You've got this list. Maybe the people in the chat room might want to check it out. You get to it from the first page of the World Bridges, correct?
Correct. On the main page of World Bridges, you'll see a
click
link.
Click the link that says Time Capsule.
Yes.
Okay, well, let me try. You have the introduction here. This is really a kind of a painless format you've set up. This is, and insert your name. So this is Scott Lockman from Tokyo, Japan, and I host a couple of podcasts. One of them is Tokyo Calling, and the other is Comprehensible Input, the podcast. I would say that in 2005, I was most grateful for, in this whole realm of technology and communication with the web, I was grateful for the chance to try to find a voice and try to say things that I've been feeling and wanting to express and to actually reach an audience. It's, as I said before, it's been dreamlike. So for me, I was most grateful for the chance to try to get my message out and to connect to people. That's been life-changing in a lot of ways. I predict that in 2006, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on that.
Okay, well, why don't we talk a little bit about your reflection before we move on to your prediction. You mentioned that you were most grateful for kind of getting your voice out there. And the consequence of that is that people are listening to your voice. And your podcast gets listened to by lots of people. And every show you mention, oh, I got some emails about this or that. How has that changed the experience? How has that changed you? The fact that you're just sharing your life and who you are with people you've never met, at least not face-to-face, and you're interacting with them.
To tell you the truth, it's been amazing just to get responses from different people and to connect. And one of the things with the Tokyo Calling show is I've tried to do different things with it, and initially it was just kind of me talking into a microphone and sort of without any real format or focus on anything, just kind of talking and trying to make sense of the world around me. And then I tried to make it more of a structured show, and that was successful or unsuccessful. But just recently, on a Christmas Eve, December 24th, I sat down in a park on the way home, and I just sort of spoke very freely, and what am I trying to say? What I'm saying is I said stuff that I was talking before about repressing the inner child. I said stuff that I have not articulated to anybody forever, and kind of very personal stuff in a way, but I think to a person listening it would seem almost trivial, but to me it was not, and it was very important for me to get it out, and just in getting it out and saying it was very cathartic, I guess, for me. And it was, I was teared up. I had wet eyes as I was talking, and my voice kind of quivered a bit, and I blamed it on the microphone, obviously. bad equipment. But the responses to that were just amazing, and just me just not trying to do entertainment or do a podcast, but just kind of talking and working through some issues was neat.
It is amazing stuff. I mean, I think it's easy to categorize this as, geeks just playing with their toys, but I think there's something very real that happens with all the sharing that's going on, people expressing themselves in ways and in formats that they haven't before. And I think the connections that happen are real. I mean, when you put yourself out there And it's strange how in ways it can be easier to bare your soul before 1,000 people you've never met than it can be to someone you've known for years.
It
makes for some very real human experiences.
Yeah, well, you listen to the guy in Boston, Tony Kaye, who he does morning stories on WGBH in Boston, and he's been a proponent or a strong advocate for podcasting since the beginning, at least since last October. And for him, that's what he loves about this evolving medium, is that people can tell their stories, and it's that human voice coming out is very exciting. You mentioned the how we are. Some of us will bear something to strangers, to 1,000 people, but we wouldn't say to people we know or something like that. That's something I've noticed as an English teacher, and I've worked in different settings. One place I worked, maybe you experienced this in Korea, in a conversation school with adults, that these middle-aged women, and men as well, would come in and bear these very deep personal stories and intimate secrets about what's going on in their life. And I think that in the English conversation class, that was the one place where they felt safe, that they could do that, that they don't have the support network in their own language, or they would lose face to let these things be known. But in the second language, with this foreigner who is really not part of their milieu, they can reveal all of this stuff.
Very true. I mean, I think as a cultural outsider, it encourages people. And I think just speaking in a different language sometimes allows people to feel like they can not create a new identity, but create a new part of their expressive soul. Well, can we have you finish up your time capsule, and then I believe Will Richardson may be ready to join in. So all we need from you is one prediction or hope for 2006.
My hope for 2006 is that the pain goes away for a lot of people who are feeling pain right now.
All right, that's a very nice hope. We're going to Skype out to Will now. Hello, Will.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Where are you spending your final hours of 2005?
Actually, I'm in the wilds of Wisconsin, believe it or not, getting ready to pack up and get on a plane back home to Philadelphia.
And what have you been doing in Wisconsin?
Well, visiting the in-laws, actually. Spending some time here building snowmen. And Wisconsin snow is really great for snowmen, by the way. It was really easy to roll some big snowballs down the hill, so it's been fun, but doing a lot of reading and just trying to stay off the blog for 2 weeks, which was very difficult to do, I must say.
Yeah, how has that been? I mean, I think we all try to grab some quality offline time when we can so that we can think about our online time and take a step back from it and see it from a fresh perspective. Have you done any reflecting on the year that was in your weblog and online activities?
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's so hard to get away from it all. I mean, it feels like if you step back for too long, you just miss so much, you know. There's so much happening, and there's just so much interesting things that people are writing and doing, that even to go offline for a couple weeks, I think, feels at least like it's hard to catch up. I really have tried not to get on my blog at all for the last couple of weeks, and that's actually been kind of nice, because it's just nice being able to read more and not have to worry so much, but not have to produce words, not feeling like I have to do a lot of writing, which has been good, because I really needed a break. I feel like I did so much writing in 2005 that it was nice to get a little break from that. But it's been interesting thinking about the last year and how things have certainly progressed and regressed in a lot of ways. And you know, it's fast and furious, isn't it?
How do you feel things have regressed?
Well, I think that, you know, I think we're still kind of in the throes of this whole disruption in terms of what blogs are and the transparency of it and the way that school districts are reacting to it. And I'm not sure if that's regression as much as maybe just kind of a reaction to finally kind of waking up to a lot of what's been happening. And I'm sure we're going to see more of that too. I mean, it's going to be, I think at least, you know, still pretty disruptive and still going to take some time for people to really understand how people are connecting online and how conversations are starting in ways that we've never really had them before. But by the same token, I'm starting to see some kind of glimmers of understanding. A couple articles that I've read this week, actually, of teachers and you know, university professors and the like who are starting to really, it looks like, understand the power of writing online and of podcasting and sharing content, creating content. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the next year, actually, in terms of that. I really think that as more people kind of settle around the ideas and stop reacting to them as much as thinking about them and looking for ways to bring them into the classroom, that I think we'll be in a better place a year from now, maybe, than we are now.
When you look back at 2005, what will be most prominent in your memory? 2005 was the year that, what?
I think 2005 was the year maybe that we really branched out from text. I've kind of found myself not talking so much about blogging as about, you know, maybe podcasting, audio, video, all the different types of media that we can start using now, and that just seems to me to be getting simpler and simpler. You know, I think Stephen wrote on his blog last week, you know, he pointed to an article about video being really big in 2006, and I think he said something like, "You heard it here last." Well, you know, I mean, that's absolutely true, and I just, for me at least, the last few months, I've just started becoming so much more aware of the other forms of this content creation, you know, that are happening out there. It took me a long time, really, to kind of appreciate podcasting, and I'm still not sure that I, you know, I certainly don't think it's as great of a tool as blogging, you know, as some of the more interactive things, but I certainly have become much more in tune, I think, with how you can use podcasting as a teaching tool and as a learning tool, and I'm finding it really interesting now as I try to kind of experiment more with, you know, doing interviews with people and just kind of bringing that type of content to people that, you know, those other types of media are, I think, more going to become more and more interesting. And I think actually it's almost hopefully going to be driven by the kids, you know, by our students who just seem to be immersing themselves. I'm seeing so many more examples of the things that our students are doing and kids are doing out of school as well that are just really seeming to drive this more and more. And you know, eventually maybe that's really the way this happens, is that our kids just kind of start bringing it to the teachers and saying, well, how about if I do a video, or how about if I do a podcast? And teachers probably are saying, well, what's that? And the kids say, you know, well, this is what it is, and let's try to do those types of things. So for me, I mean, I think that's what the last year has been. I've been so blog-centric for the last 4 years that I really think that it's been kind of interesting for me to look at all the different types of media that really we can use now.
What do you think the biggest issue on the table is for most teachers and or administrators as they're looking ahead? Okay, it's a new year. We've got to update our curriculum or our methods, and this is what we need to decide. What's that issue?
Just one. there's a lot of, I mean, I just think that there are so many things working against change in public schools that it's just very difficult from just about every direction to really make significant change. I mean, I just actually had a conversation with Chris Lehman, who is a blogger and also going to be the principal of the, I think it's called the Science Leadership Academy, which is a new school that's opening up in September in Philadelphia. And he actually, you know, it was interesting to talk to him because he pretty much can build his own school, and he can and pretty much design the types of curricular activities that he wants his students to have, and he's implementing blogs and wikis and a lot of these tools, and you know, the freedom to be able to do that and kind of the ability to really build something from the ground up is just, I think, so interesting. But you look at traditional public schools, and that's so difficult to do. I mean, you really have to kind of start at the bottom and just change the whole, you know, environment of the school, the whole learning ecology, which is, I think, is an another interesting kind of idea that's come out in the last year or so more and more. It's hard to do. There's not enough time. The resources are many times not there in terms of the technology. You know, there's all those state tests and those mandated scores that you have to achieve, and so taking a risk and doing something different is just that, a risk. And There aren't a lot of people, I don't think, who are willing to do that in really meaningful ways yet. I think that probably it's going to take quite a while for a lot of those things to become more and more integrated in the classroom.
Speaking of not having enough time, I know your time is limited, and I'm hoping we can get a time capsule entry from you before you go.
Let's see.
Can I jump in for a second?
Go.
Hi, Will. This is Scott.
Hey,
I've
Scott.
Been
how
listening.
Are you?
I'm well, thanks. I've been listening in, and when I was asked to do this, I realized that I needed a little bit of time, so I'll just fill the blank space while you think. And I recommended Jeff that since Jeff is running the show here, it would be quite nice if you could get a little background music for while people are thinking. Such as, like,
how about the Jeopardy theme?
Yeah,
right. Jeopardy theme song. That's what I was thinking, too. That'd be great.
I don't suppose that's pod safe.
I can whistle.
Yeah, I can hum a few bars.
Well, Jeff, I'll pay you a compliment, and I'll say my most memorable web experience of 2005 was actually being on World Bridges with you and Stephen Downs when my power went out and we made all those valiant attempts to keep the show going. And I just really think that what you guys have done this year is really great. And in terms of just a new tool and a kind of new experience for people to use to really understand, again, the ways we can connect and the ways we can communicate, I think what you've done is provide us with just a whole different vehicle to do that. And that was really fun to be on your show with Stephen. And I really do think that was probably the most memorable thing, for me at least, in terms of learning tools and, you know, the read-write web, as I like to call it. And so I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for that, and I concur. That was one of our first really solid, significant shows out there. And I would also say that the show with Barbara Ganley, where you were able to Skype in with your entire class, was a unique experience for us to reach out to a group audience like that. And we hope we can do more of that in the coming year.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm sure that there'll be more opportunities to do that.
Any hopes or predictions for 2006?
I guess I'm really looking forward to the point where we just kind of get, I don't know if critical mass is the right word, but just an understanding, a better understanding among educators about, you know, what these tools are and how they can be used. And I definitely think we're moving in that direction. I don't think there's any doubt that as more and more people have a chance to work with these tools and to see examples of how they're being used in schools and with students, that there will be more of a spirit of adoption and I guess a spirit of kind of innovation and creativity that goes along with it. I'm not convinced that it's going to be really, really fast, but I do think that it's going to continue to grow, and we're going to see even better and better examples. It would be great to see some more, you know, hardcore research coming out, I guess, about how the tools are having an effect on learning. There really hasn't been that much. There's been a lot of anecdotal reading that we can point to say that kids are more engaged and that teachers are more creative and you know, that these different styles and these different environments are really producing learning. But I think until we can get some more hard numbers and statistics that say, unfortunately, that say, you know, here's how things here's how these tools affect learning in more quantitative ways. I just think that might make it even an easier sell, you know, that we could go to superintendents and we can go to principals and say, look, these tools are proven. There are good things happening. We need to really look at how to implement them into our own schools.
All right. Well, cheers to that. So when will you be blogging again?
Probably tomorrow. I've got a few things that I definitely want to write about and start thinking about. And you know, it's going to be a crazy year. I mean, without question, in terms of trying to continue to do all, work on the blog and you know, do a full time job. My wife is starting to get a little bit less patient with me in terms of the time that all of this takes. So it's going to be an interesting year in terms of trying to keep this moving. And again, with as fast as everything is happening, and with more and more ideas out there, and more and more people writing, and there's just so much good stuff that's happening out there right now that it just takes more and more time to kind of keep up with it. So I got to get back at it, and first of the year sounds as good a time as any, so I'll probably be back on the blog tomorrow.
Well, we will very much look forward to tuning into that and all of your great things to come in 2006. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of spousal support group for bloggers or webcasters.
Well, you know, I really thought that now that, I mean, my wife does blog too. I mean, not very frequently, but she does have a blog on the environment, which I think is great. And I keep encouraging her to do more of it. And now that, you know, both of my little kids, my 8 and my 6-year-old, both have blogs too. I thought when we became the blog family that this would all kind of be a lot easier for everyone to kind of, you know, more palatable for everyone. But the time is just tough. You know, it's tough having, you know, being a father and being a technology supervisor and being a blogger and everything else. So you know, I'll keep plugging away at it, but it's going to be interesting to see how things progress next year.
Yeah, it's a multitasking world.
Yeah.
All right, can you stick around? I don't want to keep you longer than you can stay.
Yeah, actually, I do have to run because we've got about 17 boxes of presents that we have to try to, you know, finagle onto the plane somehow. So we have to get headed toward Minneapolis. But listen, thanks so much for doing this, and thanks for having me on. Have a great new year, and I'm really looking forward to much more from you guys next year. In terms of, you know, building this community and bringing all these ideas to a much larger audience.
Right back at you. Thank you very much for being a great part of our 2005, and we'll look forward to connecting in 2006.
All right, take care, Jeff. My best to Dave, too. Bye-bye, Scott.